There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And you are listening to Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. We're going to go to Mumbai now. And Rebecca Bundon is there. Rebecca, thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good to be back.
So, Rebecca, we're going to start off with a story about a strike that's taken place across India today. 1 million bank employees go on strike to demand higher wages. How has that unfolded?
Yes, what we saw in Mumbai today, Natalie, was thousands of workers taking to the streets and gathering for a massive protest. They're asking for higher wages, as you mentioned. They've been given a 2% increase in their salaries, but they're saying they want more than that as the cost of living rises in India. Now, these are largely public sector bank workers. India has 21 public sector banks, and it was mainly these workers that are the ones that are concerned, and we saw those branches of banks such as State Bank of India closing today because of these protests. It's meant to be a two-day strike, in fact. So we saw those banks closed. Largely, activity at private sector banks still continued as normal, so that meant people could still get access to cash and things like that. But this comes as India's banks have faced a series of problems. We've seen things like the Nirav Modi bank scam, where there was a $2 billion fraud at a single branch of Punjab National Bank, one of India's biggest state-owned lenders. And then just banks generally in India have been struggling with this problem of bad debt, bad loans, as corporates have defaulted on payments. And that's sort of run them into huge losses. So it's a bit of a difficult balancing act for them, because on the one hand, they have these losses and they can't really afford to pay their workers more necessarily. But workers, employees are saying that, you know, they're working very hard, and why should they be paying for the actions of these corporates who have defaulted? They feel that they're suffering unfairly.
Rebecca, let me ask you about another story. On Monday, the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu, lots of people from Tamil Nadu working here in the Emirates, so it's highly relevant to lots of people listening now. A copper plant was closed by the state government. Now, people have been protesting for years and years against the copper plant, but 13 people were killed last week as protests were being staged. How is this story developing?
Yes, that's right, Tim. So as you mentioned, these protests have been going on for a long time, and it's in the past few months that they gathered pace, and then particularly last week when 13 people were killed amid police firing as residents protested. Now, this plant in Tuticorin in Tamil Nadu in South India, a copper plant, the residents there are saying that it's been causing health problems, pollution, environmental issues, cases of cancer and so on, depleting the fishing resources. So it affects their lives in many ways. Following these extreme protests that we saw last week where 13 people died, on Monday the state government announced that they want this plant to close down permanently. They ordered the permanent closure of the plant, which is owned by Sterlite Copper. That's a subsidiary of UK-headquartered Vedanta Resources. It's seen as a victory that this order has come out that the plant be closed. But there are some concerns that perhaps the company, which I think is exactly what they're planning to do, will now take legal action to try and stop that closure of the plant. So those are the concerns there now, that this matter may not be over, that this is something that is going to continue, that the company will fight for this plant to reopen, which is one of it's a major copper plant, definitely one of the largest plants in the region.
It's something like 400,000 ton capacity plant. I mean, it is a huge plant, isn't it? What's also, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but there are reports, and constantly there are reports of incidents, gas leaks, violation of planning regulations. So the anger that's been galvanised here has been really non-stop for 20-odd years.
Exactly, and it's not the first time that the company Vedanta has faced controversy in India. It's also dealt with protests in places including Odisha and Goa. It's this ongoing problem, really, of industry versus the impact on environment and health, which is a problem we see across India and, of course, in many parts of the world.
Okay, and Rebecca, if we can go to the final story today. Air India, which is India's loss-making national carrier. The government want to privatise Air India, but so far no bids have been received. The deadline for the bids closes tomorrow.
Yeah, there's not much time left. I think they're still being quite optimistic and hoping that maybe a white knight might step in, that some bids will come in at the last minute. But Air India, one of the main problems with the national carrier is that it has these huge levels of debt. We're talking about $8 billion of debt. And under the terms that the Indian government set, they're expecting the buyer to take on most of that debt. So that's been a major factor that would have put off a lot of bidders. There was some earlier interest expressed by airlines, including Indigo, but a few of these potential bidders seem to have become wary over this. Of course, Air India, there are some attractive elements to it. It's a massive airline with a huge network of destinations, planes, access to some of the busiest airports in the world. So, and a lot of very qualified staff. So there are some attractive elements. Also, not forgetting the fact that India's aviation market is one of the world's fastest growing aviation markets. So you've got a relatively small percentage of the population that actually flies. We're talking about single digit percentage of the population that uses aeroplanes within the country. But this is rapidly rising, a population of 1.3 billion where incomes are growing. So over the years, this is only going to get bigger and bigger. So from that perspective, for potential buyers, there is, there could be interest in taking over the airline, but they would want better terms. They wouldn't want these levels of debt, which would just be unmanageable. But analysts do say that the airline could become profitable in a few years under a private owner who takes the right strategy. So if the government can perhaps relax these conditions a bit and make it more attractive, then we may see some bidders coming forward.
I have to say, Rebecca, I went to Kerala with my parents a couple of years ago now. We flew Air India and we were all extremely impressed. It is, it's a prestigious national carrier, but there's lots of competition in India now, as you say, from companies like Indigo who are in the market and are often cheaper.
No, that's right. There have been a number of budget carriers that we've seen launch in recent years in India. So you've got so many of them. There's Indigo, there's SpiceJet. You've got all this competition coming in, Air Asia in India as well. So it is hard for them to compete. It means that that Air India has had to cut its fares. And of course, that affects the airline's profitability. It has huge numbers of staff as well. And then when you have something like a government-owned carrier, you have all those trade unions which are constantly making demands. And that's made it very difficult for the government to actually make profit in a way. The conditions have been difficult. But at the same time, this is costing the taxpayer because they're having to essentially subsidize the airline. And the government has even said this money could be much better spent on areas such as education, healthcare, infrastructure for the country, which would ultimately be much better for the population and the broader economy rather than pumping money into Air India.
Rebecca Bundon in Mumbai for now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Natalie. Thanks, Tim.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.